I neglected to mention Sister Vina, Carol's mom. If I forget to mention someone, does not mean we've stopped praying for them at all. I'm going to go ahead and mention, you know, where I'm always thankful. I believe we are when I see Brother Kevin come in and sit down and all, and he is right with me on these sermons. He's nodding, and you know, I know he's paying attention. But we are thankful to see Sister Jamie, Brother Will this morning. We're thankful to see y'all, and glad you felt like coming. I know that Brother Kevin's mentioned we prayed for you all. And through your ordeal, so we will continue to do so. Since I'm the one up here speaking, I am going to mention that as of today, 40 years ago today, I met my bride. It was at the Chambers Creek Association. At that same church, but it was over by the zoo then, back in the old days,
yeah.
Sister Terry, we remember that, over there, but 40 years ago we met, but more importantly, that night, staying with Brother Ronnie, I was still living in Houston, I told him that night, I'm going to marry that girl. I think we can stick it out. I think we're okay. It'll be 40 years next April that we'll be married. I am so thankful. For that, I want to go back to Romans chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to get just two verses here. I tried to preach last Sunday out of Romans chapter 5, but my intent is to get two verses and then jettison out of this so to what's on my mind, but this is a good foundation for it. Romans chapter 5 in the 12th verse says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then the Apostle Paul continues, but and stopping there very quickly, it does set up original sin. Those of you who were here last Sunday, this will be a review. But it sets up the doctrine of original sin. That's it. By one man, sin entered into the world. We don't blame God. We don't blame God for anything. Certainly not for sin. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam, the first man Adam, of Adam and Eve, he was our federal head. He was our legal representative. And so when he broke that law of God, it says, right, he plunged us all of his family, which is all of us, and we'll get more into these alls again in a moment. I know there's some here, and there's some in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But I believe it helps to go into that book and that chapter to clear up some of this. Plus, what can be wrong with ending up with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of us? Adam is our federal head here. And let me continue outside of these parentheses again. In the 18th verse says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And I'll stop there for a moment, end of a sentence, but and I may get to that 19th verse as well. "But by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation." That's easy to understand. It's Adam and the all there. And I went back and looked below that word all, or in the Greek and so forth. And I don't ever want to be guilty of just trying, oh, here, pick out this part of that definition or that the Greek of the Greek term of whatever English word and put it to my use, unless it's based on Scripture and all. But part of the meaning of that word is as many as. As many as. That also makes sense. Some of this stuff I can even understand. we can. But as many as. So as many as is being spoken of there, that's who's being talked about. That's who's it's referred to. Now then, okay, well, let's see. We can only read what's there. But then we have to take into context everything else, all the other Scripture given by God, by His inspiration to men to write these things. We have to go to other places in God's Word to reconcile this with all of that. If we can't reconcile it, something's off somewhere. And so we have to do this. So then it continues then, even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. As I said last Sunday, He is our federal head. Jesus Christ is. He is not the federal head of everyone in the family of Adam, who is also our federal head. The elect. And even saying that, the word elect, I think of all those that would say how unfair it is and so forth. But look at this through the sovereignty of God Almighty, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will do as He wills. And as I said before, I could have stopped here in the 12th verse, and it can end there. Plunged us all into death. That's where we were. If people could understand thoroughly that total depravity of man, that's where we are. Think about that today, if we were still in that. But because of the loving kindness, the love of God, He sent this one, Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross. He offered that sacrifice that was accepted of God, then came the free gift. For as by one man's disobedience, many... So now we have the word many in here twice. Many. It's not all anymore. You have to really look at this stuff and read it and all and get this game and pray. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Well, who was made sinners? It was all of the family of Adam. It was. We see that. He's the one that was given the law. He is all of our father. All of us. You know, we go in and do genealogies and stuff, where we came from and everything. And I don't know. I've done that. Found not really any nobility. Found some criminals in my line, but no royalty that I've found. But anyway, we know that. So by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. So he. A lot of times, the Apostle Paul, he'll kind of reword the same thing there, and I'll do it in a different way, to add clarity to it. That whole parenthetical statement that I skipped over is that he's covering these details. He's already gone through justification. Elder Philip Conley preached wonderful sermon, blessed sermon on the four. What is it? Four ended up being five justifications, and all. It's just so clear. Lord bless him. Give him all the praise, honor, and glory. But in saying, Apostle Paul's gone over that. You know, you read the first up to this point, the first four chapters, and then chapter 5 of Romans, and you see that. Read Romans, the third chapter, and you see how God saw us and what we were and all. And then he goes into this here. Before I go over to 1 Corinthians... the 15th chapter. And this 18th and 19th verse, those verses there, we see some of that again in that chapter. But in let me first go through Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And mention a couple of truths here. If you just think on the surface about some of this, like, okay, yeah, we all died in Adam. Sinners. We're saved by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, faith, so forth. And so we'll be resurrected at the last day. But it's not, and all the times the Apostle Paul says us and we, he's referring to the elect in lot that he says. But if I talk about the resurrection, it is not only the resurrection of the just.
Right.
It's not just those that elect. To me, I see the power of God in all of this. That, tell you what, when His voice is heard, all are going to rise from the grave. All. Now, there's a little bit after that happens. That we're aware of. But anyway, in the 24th chapter of Acts, the 15th verse, and he speaks of the Apostle Paul again, speaking of the those that had gone before by written in the law and the prophets and all, and then he's defending what he's standing upon. Then in the 15th verse he says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Now, if we put a period there of the dead, we know that. It's like, okay, we got that. But then he says, both of the just and unjust. So we have scripture for that. It's for both. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, Jesus Christ himself says here, 28th verse, fifth chapter of John, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So it's as many as are in the grave. All will hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Both are just and unjust. They're all going to rise. Power of God. And we go through all this stuff where they that have an ear to hear, let them, you know, and all that. But tell you what, every person in the family of Adam, all of those will hear the voice of God and rise from the grave. Rise from the grave. So we have that there. Now, let me go stay in John for just a moment, and I'll go over there to 1 Corinthians. So we got the just and the unjust. In the resurrection, all will be raised. But in the sixth chapter of John, Jesus Christ again speaking here, 37th verse, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. It's a big good lesson in that, in our lives today. What, you know, how did Jesus Christ live here and did the will of his Father? And this is the Father's will. Jesus Christ, he is God. He knows his Father's will. And so he can speak of this. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So, That's the elect. All that God gave, we'll see that terminology over, so I'm setting up the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that all that the Father gave him, he should raise it up. Does that negate the fact that all will rise from the grave? No. He said all would rise from the grave. So that again, I see that great power of God Almighty, but all that was given him. And that is as much as, and in studying and reading different things and writings of different ones, you can get so bogged down in, is this person or is this group of people, are they exhibiting the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit? Are they a child of God? And as much as we say, you know, we don't have to judge that. We don't have to determine that. God has already done that. All that the Father hath given him, that's the ones. That's the number. We don't have to worry about that. If it's one of my loved ones, then I don't have to be concerned with that. If it's a child of God, then it's a child of God and all. So we don't have to get, who knew that Satan would encourage someone, a minister or anyone else, to go into God's Word and start picking this stuff apart, but he can divert our attention to things as quick as anyone, and divert us from, even on Sunday morning, he'll throw everything at us. And so we pray that we're blessed to rise above that and to be concerned with what we're given in Scripture by God, the surety of that, and which is the salvation of Jesus Christ, and rest upon that. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, I'm going to begin in the 19th verse, and down to this 19th verse, and let me go ahead and read it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So it's implied here there are some that have hope only in this life. In Christ, it's still in Christ, but it's only in this life. And there are some, as you read, and you know, you're aware of this, that did not believe in the resurrection. And all, think of the Sadducees, I believe it is, and groups of people and all. And then, anyway, if in this, we're of all men most miserable. I know that in my experience, as I grow older, that as I get closer to that day, we all get closer to that last day. We're all doing that. Now, when Adam broke that law, he began to die, a natural death. And he also died in trespasses and sin, and put us in that. Anyway, I don't want to go back to that, but that's where we started. So up to this point here, if you go back up here, there are, I think, about seven ifs. If this, if that. It talks about Christ not risen, your faith being in vain. If Christ be not risen, preaching's vain, your faith is vain. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. So it goes through all of that there. And I believe it was Brother James Mosley yesterday that mentioned this. He mentioned the word yet, but he mentioned the word but. So as we go into the 20th verse, it begins with the word but. So he's putting all these ifs out there. Christ is not raised and risen and so forth. It goes through all the if. And he says, but then he says here in the 20th verse, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He is risen. He's proclaiming that. Certainly the Apostle Paul is living in a way. I think it was Brother Philip Conley that mentioned that he hopes that no one has to ever ask, are you a Christian? and so forth, he exhibits that behavior and so forth. And I think of Colossians, the third chapter, first verse. But anyway, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So he is risen from the dead. And so in addition to that, or in doing that, in that happening, he is become the first fruits of them that slept. That are, and as slept, we see the word to fall asleep or slept and all. And there are times that simply means that they have died. They're dead naturally. I've heard of children in my experience that have heard these things spoken and then would be fearful to even fall asleep and all. That's not what this is talking about. And as you grow older, the children here, you will appreciate sleep so much the more as you grow older. But the times that we were forced to take a nap, and now I wish I was forced to take a nap. And some of us do that voluntarily in the afternoon and are able to do that. So I try not to do it at work. But anyway, going on. That's just I mean, those that are dead. Now, in the, real quickly, that first fruits. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. There was a feast that pointed to this very thing. There was a feast. In the 23rd chapter, Leviticus, around the 9th, 10th verse, they were to take a sheaf from the harvest, and there was a sacrifice here, and then a lamb would come into it without blemish, first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. But they would take this sheaf from the harvest, barley. And so that was the first fruits. Their harvest is just about ready. It's to they're going to those everything they planted and they've grown now and they're about to reap that. And so they're to take this sheaf and then that first fruits. Then they would be blessed if it was accepted of God for their harvest. But that was the first fruits. Keep thinking of Jesus Christ. He's the first one resurrected there. But one of the phrases I like here, and this sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest, you take it to the priest. It's in the 10th verse, 11th verse says, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. Right. So he's to wave this before the Lord. So he's waving this sheaf. I always picture, corn or something, you know, the stalk that it grows on. So you're waving this and all, it says first fruits there. And he's not waving it before the priest. The priest taking it to the priest, waves it before the Lord to be accepted for you. Yeah. To be accepted for you. Now think of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to ask you out audibly. Yesterday somebody asked, show of hands. And no hand should have come up from that question that he asked, by the way. And so none did. But I'm not going to ask all. But you know where Jesus Christ is right now. He is set down at the right of the hand of the majesty on high. His sacrifice was accepted. Our sacrifice through Jesus, him being our federal head, was accepted. They're waving this sheaf of the first fruits before the Lord to be accepted of him. Jesus Christ is our first fruits. We will be resurrected. Right. It was accepted. You can rest in that. So as I get distracted and bogged down in the minutiae of details and all, we come back to this surety, Jesus Christ, that was, is, our first fruits, of them that slept. Now, if you want to, and in looking at all this, and looking at what Primitive Baptist ministers have said about some of this, that if you want to, take that as, that he became, or he, and become the first fruits of them that slept, and it's past tense, yes, all those that died before this point in time. He became the first fruits of those. But in the entire elect family of God, he is the first fruits of all that die here. As Brother Mark prayed and about those who have been wafted on, their soul and spirit carried by angels into heaven as a result of the work of Jesus Christ. And where it ended over there in Romans chapter 5, I go to the cross there and that sacrifice he made. And he has, we have righteousness through that act, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ in totality to God, because it was accepted. And now we're going on to even something better in the resurrection here that we look forward to. In so many ways, I look forward and that I'm thankful that I can look at natural death as simply a separation. My body, my soul and spirit is separated from my body. And we read, even this week I read some writings, not a Primitive Baptist, but that talked about the soul in death goes to sleep with the body. They even use the term sleep. But no, it doesn't. If you have eternal life right now, if you have it, that's eternal. It's forever. It's forever. Yeah. It's forever. And so part of you, whatever part that is, has been given that in regeneration, through the work of the Holy Ghost, and will not die. Immortal. Now don't look at your bodies with that. They're mortal. They're liable to die. And they will, short of Jesus Christ coming before that point. But our soul and spirit goes directly to heaven. It's a separation. But then, and I don't know what that's like. I keep going back to sermons I heard, but that's a good thing. I came to hear preaching too, we did. But Elder David Montgomery, mentioned some things about that. He mentioned about trying one time, or he was about to preach on heaven. And an old crusty deacon came up to him and shut it down without realizing it. But because what do we know about heaven? We don't know a whole lot. But I look forward to the time that we are there, body, soul, and spirit, and that's the time of the resurrection, that last day when my soul and spirit then is reunited with my body. Not this body. Well, it's this body, but it's been changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so, anyway, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So we get 21st, 22nd verses. You'll think back of Romans 5. 12, and then on to verse 18 in that Romans 5. But here the 21st verse says, "For since by man came death," so the Apostle Paul's, he's writing to another church, another people, same thing he wrote to the Romans there, and all, but it's foundational. And the Corinthians needed it. We need it in our lives. I hope you leave looking forward to the resurrection. I think you already are. "Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." So by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. We can already set aside, it's a just and unjust. Now, there are some that will say all that's being spoken of here is the elect. And when we get to the 22nd verse and on. But there are two actions here. By man came death. That's Adam. It's easy to understand. When you start trying to rightly divide, it becomes a little bit harder. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. We know that's Jesus Christ, that man. It's not the same man, same word there, but it's two different men. It's the first federal head and the second one. Also the resurrection of the dead. So he says, states that. Then he says in the 22nd verse, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So here's two more alls again. Two more alls thrown at us. But here we're given something else. And I won't, you know, have some kind of quiz. Like, you find what I'm looking at. Which word, which little word am I looking at here? Well, it's the word in. It's positional. It's positional. "For as in Adam all die." Again, easy to understand. There's so many. There's so much that people, you know, you ask someone, "Do you believe in salvation by grace?" Almost everyone's goes, "Yes, yes, yes." It's after you still continue to talk with them, you find out, well, oh, that's a little works thrown in there and all. But so most agree, "For as in Adam all die." So who was in Adam? All of us. Everyone was in Adam. That's the all. But it's position. It's in Adam. All die. Now, then it says, "Even so." Same terminology is over in Romans chapter 5. "Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive." Who's in Christ? John 6:39. All that the Father gave him are in Christ. He said, "All the Father giveth me, those are in Christ." We are in, again, Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. If ye be," yeah, "but so for as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And we're included in that. I don't want to nullify my faith, my evidence, my belief that I have been shown that I am a child of God. If I didn't think I was, I would not be here. I would not be preaching this gospel. It's a gospel that sheds light on the Word of God. But we feel that. I don't feel like, and we all, and I mentioned this before, you all, and I have had intimate, personal events take place in our lives. Maybe we can't even explain it in words to someone, what just happened, but that we really, the justification by faith, it reassures us of that knowledge that God is with us. And that we can. So even in Christ shall all be made alive. So we're in that position. 23rd verse says, "But every man in his own order." But every man in his own order. Now there's a colon right there. He is fixing to explain that statement there. Says Christ, the first fruits. Well, 20th verse explained that in Leviticus chapter 9, on those first fruits. We see that. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." They that are Christ's. Who are Christ's? John 6:39. All that is given him by the Father. I don't have to worry about someone not being a child of God. Again, a minister yesterday said, "You know, worry. He used to be a big worrier and all." you can't do anything about it anyway. Why worry, be concerned of that? What can I do to make someone a child of God? The Apostle Paul even knew. He, in Romans chapter 10, his heart's desire and prayer was not that they become children of God, but being children of God, that they come out of ignorance. Because there's rest in that. There's peace. That's at least, that's one thing I don't have to worry about. Speaking of worriers, I think you've confessed that in the morning. I have too. But trying. And another thing, the things, so many things that I am concerned about that I could potentially do something about, maybe not even directly related to me, but someone else who I care about and I love. I know it's not impossible to put that on God, but we're supposed to lay that on God. And just as of even recent as last night and this morning, I finally thought of praying to God that He would bless me to do just that. Place that on God. I already know that He solves things with solutions that I never even saw. He obliterates problems before they even arise. I know that. And it's just like coming to church, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. He delights in that. He delights in our praying that He would remove a problem, a situation from us that we cannot handle. If He could raise Jesus Christ from the dead, can He not solve one of my problems in life? This month, end of this month, 29th, I will have been pastor here 5 years. The way I look at it is that in spite of me, God has blessed us here in this church with the lack of conflict, with the presence of peace. It has to be God. Because in 5 years, I've got to know you all. You all know me. You've told me. but God blesses us, and I tell you what, as long as we give Him the praise for that and the glory, then He will continue. It is not me. It is not you. It is God. And then I said, well, why? Why are you so gracious? Well, He loves us. He loves you. I'll tell you that. He loves you. Because at the last day, when you're raised from the grave, the elect family of God, then He's going to say, come, inherit the kingdom given to you. There's no judgment there. I know some of this has been called declarative judgment there. But the judgment took place on the cross. Amen. Jesus Christ in our room instead. We were in Christ. We're in Christ. And prior to that event, God chose us before the foundation of the world. And then the Trinity then agreed in covenant of these things to take place. God knew they were. He is not doubted. Even today with the turmoil and conflict and so forth, let's rest in the fact that our King of Kings is greater than all. He is greater than all. He's greater than us. He'll lose nothing. There in Romans, in verse 30, something there at the end, that what will can separate us from the love of God, he lists out all those things. You can put everything in that list there, including yourself. It's like, oh, I know he'll protect me from this and that outward stuff and other men and everything can't separate me from God. But what I do. No, okay, so you're limiting the power of God in that. That's a dangerous thing. Not even I can separate myself in anything that I think, say, or do, as awful as it may be, from the love of God. And I believe some of this was quoted yesterday, but I'll finish my thought here and then close. 24th verse says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father." He's still doing the will of his Father that sent him. "When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." It'll be done. It'll be done. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And I thought, as I read that verse, the thought came to me that very moment, or that moment just prior to Jesus, to this happening, to Jesus calling our name and those graves opening up. And there's statistics in the world, you know, every moment, every second, X number of people die a natural death and so forth, right up to that moment. So even right until then, someone else, they've just died. In that moment, he calls us, and then in a moment, it's done. So the last enemy is death. It'll be over then. But until that moment, death is still here. Real quickly, in the 50 same chapter here, toward the end, 54th verse. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." I'm telling you what, everyone will know about that victory at that point. All that come out of the graves, those that it says the books were open, their works, they're judged by those. We're in that we're in the book of life, and we're judged. We have been judged by Jesus Christ. Am I going to go out and commit all the sin I can? No. By the grace of God, I will live and exhibit that fruit given to me in regeneration. And that's where the peace is. It's not just a matter of, well, I need to do this to serve my spiritual Father, God Almighty, and so forth. That we desire to do that, plus it gives us peace and rest in that. Now, and it says, "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written," Isaiah 25, and I'll close. Isaiah 25 and 8. "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." It's all that has to happen. All he has to do is speak it. Anything. "And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." We're rejoicing now. We've been given the earnest of our inheritance. But I long for that day. I long for the last day. That last day. That's what we look to. And if we keep our sights on that, then that moment, we don't know when it is. But I remember Hewlin Bass preached. He was a pilot. I think I might have even mentioned this here. But anyway, I'll mention it again. That he was a pilot. And he preached one time, mentioned, if your navigation is off just slightly, by the time you get where you're going, you're off over there. Let's keep our navigation on the resurrection, on Jesus Christ, and don't look back. Don't have the regrets. If I look back, I hope I see the sacrifice of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, And I know where he's going to say, nope, you look forward. I'm the first fruits of them that slept. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now and open doors to